Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with you today. It is Tuesday, May 21st, 2019. We are right now in Northwest Arkansas observing and watching the massive storms that have hit the Midwest once again. We recognize that this is a season or the time of the season where tornadoes like what we're witnessing usually take place, and boy, they are right on time, and they are some very powerful storms and a lot more flooding going on in Oklahoma, different places like this, and weather threats everywhere, tornadoes everywhere, massive tornadoes. They are impressive, the tornadoes. We have a country, once again, that is just reeling to and fro. It's the never-ending reality of the political battle that's going on, the division within our nation. We have the continual storms and different wars now and rumors of wars with Iran. And we sit back as simple human beings, and we're all trying to get through and live our life, our abundant life, right, in Christ Jesus, and work it out and get ready for eternal things. And wanting to know how it's taking such a long time for end time events to, you know, manifest and appear in their pure reality. And we're watching and we're getting it, we're seeing it, and the warnings are out there that when you see these things begin to come to pass, then make sure that you are in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. And, you know, just a little bit of the unusualness that's going on in our country. This is a something I just learned this morning, that in Jerusalem, Israel, many of you have probably heard of Daystar. That's Joni and Marcus Lamb, I believe it is, are the owners of Daystar Ministries. Well, their building, their center, their studio in Jerusalem was firebombed and was basically destroyed 2 days ago. No, I take that back. Yesterday, a firebomb. Some arsonist came through and set the place on fire and destroyed just about everything in it. And so they have enough money to say, well, we're just going to rebuild again. But I think there's a sign in that the you know, the Middle East, whether it's the Palestinians or the unbelieving Jew or whatever it is, and I don't think the unbelieving Jew would be even opposed to Daystar, quite frankly, because they are such a financial support and a definite supporter of Israel. So one would probably venture to say that the Palestinian mindset probably said, we don't want that Christian stuff here in our part of the world. But to me, it's a broadening situation where we have seen now mosques attacked over in New Zealand. We've seen Jewish synagogues. We've seen churches. And I sense the escalation of this kind of activity, and it will move rapidly into our churches here in America. We're already seeing the previews. We've warned about this years ago when those 10 or so Palestinians stood up in John Hagee's church in Texas, and one after the other, they began to shout out against their displeasure about John Hagee being a Zionist and all that. And I remember thinking when I saw that, the day will come where these Palestinians will stand up, and rather than shouting and shaking their heads against this Zionist movement, that they would just be detonated bombs strapped on their bodies. And I really believe that that's where we're going here. Others are talking about a massive civil war in the United States and the horrificness of that civil war that would take place in the country. And my point to saying all of these things is that this is the spiritual environment that's been cultivated, and you and I are living in the midst of it. And whatever your particular, flavor, I don't know how to say it, well, it's not a flavor. Let's say it this way. Wherever you are in your journey with the Lord as a Christian, whether you're just a brand new believer, you know, you're stepping out of maybe some hard times and you're stepping into Christ and the paradigm of the kingdom of heaven, and you know, your heavens are now open, it's a brand new day. Regardless, as you're walking in that, the world around you is in the condition that it's in. And as one begins to study the Word of God, they begin to view the world through the biblical lens and see that, you know, these are the times that Jesus talked about. And then, of course, you engage the conversation. Well, Jesus said these things 2,000 years ago. For the last 2,000 years, there's been a lot of evidence that these things have existed. And yet today we live in the fascinating reality that we live at a time of Bible prophecy being fulfilled before our very eyes. It's just so unique. And we particularly refer to the 1948 coming back together of a nation that was scattered to the ends of the earth for over 1900 years. You know, you just don't see that. That doesn't happen. And yet scripturally it was said that it would take place, and it has within our generation. And we are in that generation from 1948 to where we are today. We're talking 70 years, 71 years down the road. And we have had the scholars come out and tell us how in the book of Psalms we're told that to live a vibrant, strong, potent life is 70 years. And if by strength, 80, which means an addition of 10 years, that the generation of Israel becoming a nation, that it's now in its 70th year. And so it's become a vibrant, bustling nation. And by strength, and you see the strength of the West is supporting it, it's continuing on. But we approach the end of this generation. And Jesus said that within this generation, the generation that would see Israel become a nation again, it would not pass away until everything that has been prophesied or spoken would be fulfilled. And so I've researched that out time and again, and it is quite fascinating. And you don't have to try to make things fit. It's there. And it's just, you know, broadening the understanding. And then, of course, the technological explosion, the thing that is so unique about today is that everything that's happening in the world is seen by the push of a button. The world has become a very small place. I mean, from travel to getting from A, point A to point B in a supernatural period of time, some people would say, if you compare and look back 100 years ago. Well, the technological advancements that has brought the globalization of the nations of the earth, the electronic connectedness, the, you know, the new world order empire's desire to connect the world through electronics so that, you know, that control can be everywhere around the world, and subjugation to that technology. And we live again in this time of artificial intelligence growing. We live at a time where, you know, so many different advancements in science and medical and artificial intelligence, and all of this is growing up around us. And when you view it from a Christian perspective, when you view it through the Word of God, you stand in awe and say, wow, this is amazing that 2,000 years down the road, I could pick up my Bible, I could read, and, you know, rather than trying to make a theological debate, I could actually see that what was said and what has been written, the wisdom of Scripture is detailing and declaring and decreeing the things that are happening in our world today. So a lot of people in the world today, on the 21st day of May, where we are, it's probably getting a little bit late for some others, and maybe others haven't arrived to this very moment in time, but we're right there, and there are a lot of people that are reading their Bibles, and the majority of people reading their Bibles today are getting a spiritual view. They are taking a biblical view to what's going on around the world, and we're trying to interpret it, and that is only something the Holy Spirit could help us to do. But let's look at an event that's happening, probably very small to some of you, but in light of the things that are going on in the world, this is a pretty big case, I would imagine. And this is a news article coming out of CBN. Will Supreme Court agree that Christian students should be forced to cite Islamic conversion prayer in school? Well, 4 years ago, a Christian high school junior was compelled by her teacher at La Plata High School in La Plata, Maryland, to recall the Islamic conversion creed, the Shahada, as part of a written assignment. She was required to write the Islamic conversion creed, which is, "There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah." And the world history course also taught that most Muslims' faith is stronger than average Christians. Calais Wood refused to complete the assignment, believing that it is a sin to profess by word or in writing that there is any other God except the Christian God. Well, school officials refused to let her opt out of the course, and as a result, she received a lower percentage grade for the course, but that did not affect her letter grade. The Thomas More Law Center, on behalf of the Wood family, filed a lawsuit claiming the school had violated the First Amendment Establishment Clause and the girl's right not to be forced to profess faith in another religion. Both the Federal District Court and the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled in favor of the high school's Islamic curriculum. Now, the TMLC, which is, again, the Thomas More Law Center, has appealed the case to the Supreme Court, asking the high court to decide whether any legal basis exists to allow public schools to discriminate against Christianity while at the same time promoting Islam. Under the guise of teaching history or social studies, public schools across America are promoting the religion of Islam in ways that would never be tolerated for Christianity or any other religion, TMLC President and Chief Counsel Richard Thompson said in a statement. He said, "I'm not aware of any school which has forced a Muslim student to write the Lord's Prayer or John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Well, using a PowerPoint presentation in the class, the students at the school were also taught, number one, Islam is a peaceful religion. Jihad, number two, is a personal struggle in devotion to Islam, especially involving spiritual discipline. Number three, to Muslims, Allah is the same God that is worshipped in Christianity and Judaism. And number four, men are the managers of the affairs of women, and righteous women are therefore obedient. While many public schools have become a hotbed of Islamic propaganda, Thompson continued, teaching Islam in schools has gone far beyond a basic history lesson, prompted by zealous Islamic activism and emboldened by confusing court decisions, schools are now bending over backward to promote Islam while at the same time denigrate Christianity. So we are asking the Supreme Court to provide the necessary legal guidance to resolve the insidious discrimination against Christians in our public schools, he concluded. So there you have one case, probably, you know, just in the midst of 1,000 different cases like this, a nation in turmoil, a country divided at every level, at every sector of our society, there's division. There's hardly anything that could be said without a counter argument. And we've been watching this for a very, very long time. The words of Jesus ring loud and clear in our thinking that a house divided cannot stand. And it does not appear, by what we see on our television screens in the political race, that politics is going to solve our problem. It does not appear that America will be united as one nation under God through politics. And unfortunately, it does not even appear that America will be united over school shootings, where the most innocent of our society are being murdered while going to school, church shootings, synagogue shootings, all these different places where people are being shot, killed, maimed. We live in a country that's divided over the abortion issue, and that's another huge issue that's taking place right now, there, where we have been basically subjected to the abortion issue for 40-some-odd years, and the massive amounts of innocent blood that have been shed. Well, now we're starting to see, you know, a rise and a contest because we have an administration in power that's favorable to the idea of, you know, doing something about it. But what do you do about the 45 years of violating the laws of God and shedding innocent blood? And so, again, everywhere we look, everywhere we turn, we see a world in crisis. And yet each person on this planet is trying to do something to live their life. And for some, you know, death means nothing to them. In fact, it is an honor to die, and not only die personally, but to take as many infidels as possible. And this is the religion of Islam. And what we call radical Islam today is obviously the purity of Islam. It's pure Islam. The other Islam of this, that, and the other thing, and we're all peaceful and nice people and all that, is the apostasy. It's kind of like a church that's no longer rigidly righteous, but is filtered into the world and has kind of become like them, and, you know, non-aggressive, non-conflictuous, non-confrontational. And, you know, we still say we're the church, and yet we've lost our savor, and we're no longer peculiar people that have been called out of the world to shine a light, to expose the darkness. You know, we kind of fit right in. And so on the one side, in Christianity, we have a great apostasy that's underway, where people have left their spiritual grounding in faith. And on the other religion, you have people that that are no longer willing to kill the infidel, and they're the apostates. And so are there two groups of people in both sides of the coin that are willing to stand up for what they really believe and live out what they really believe? Well, Muslims, pure, unadulterated Islam in its purest form, is lived out by groups that we call ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, Hamas, the, you know, the terrorist organizations, you know, the person that would, you know, hate every living person that is not with Allah to destroy the infidel. That's pure Islam. Are they here? Yes. Are there Christians that are so devoted to the mind of Jesus Christ that they love not the world, neither the things in the world, and are not of the world, but in the world? You know, does that exist? I'm sure it does, in a remnant form. And so one is for life, the other is for death. One is a standing for life, another is a standing and a willing to die for the cause of Allah in Islam. So we had a woman on this radio broadcast, and that's all over the world, Isak, who is crying out probably louder than any Christian I've heard in a long time, crying out to wake up to the reality of the 5,000 Islamic soldiers that are here, ISIS Islamic soldiers that are in the country. And we say, well, you know, what's the big deal about that? We've got our Marines, we've got our special forces, we've got our powerful military. And again, I would remind our listeners that if it was true that we were fighting Islam, if we were fighting Muslims, if we were fighting socialists, if we were fighting communists, if we were fighting China, if we were fighting Russia, if we were fighting North Korea, you know, if America was fighting against all these isms, we would win. But we're not. The reason why we're losing, and if you haven't looked lately, America is losing rapidly its place as a superpower nation in this world. And you say, well, how is that? Well, I'll explain that in just a moment. But the fact of the matter, if we were fighting against all these other isms out there, if we were fighting against the progressive left, if we were fighting against all that, we would win. But we're not. That's not who our battle is against. If you read your Bible, you will realize that we are fighting against God. That America, for a very long time, has been fighting against the Lord, fighting against Jesus Christ. We have allowed the promotion of blasphemy all over this country, and we spread it to the ends of the earth, blaspheming the holy name of Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing that people never talk about, Muhammad, doggone it. Why is it always, Jesus Christ? Because the spirit of blasphemy has been promoted within our society. We have permitted, in many places, our Ten Commandments being removed from halls of justice. We have permitted the ACLU to run rampant, pulling down out the last vestiges of our Christian faith. We've seen our statues being pulled down that have any representation of godliness, if you will. And so we were on that fast track, and there seemed to be no end to it. And suddenly we have a administration that seems to be affording some opportunity to turn things around. And the energetic people that are wanting to do that are getting involved, like Alabama and states like that, and representatives and people are trying to do something. But we still, to this very day, are murdering innocent babies in the womb. We still are marrying homosexual men and lesbian women. We are still promoting pornography in a country where the youngest minds could be, just saturated with something that would create a problem for the rest of their lives. We have teenage girls in our country that are committing suicide as they're being told by television programs why they should kill themselves at the prime of their life to go out with a big bang on Netflix. These are things we're hearing them. We're going to search them out. We're going to present them because they're not lies. Just like the opioid crisis going on in our nation right now is not a lie. In fact, I believe Islamic curses every day are landing and making landfall in the United States. I believe this nation's division is a result of Islamic cursing. Because I always understand in the scriptures that God will bring Ishmael whenever he wants to deal with a nation, whether it's Israel or any other nation. He will raise up the seed of Ishmael to be a rod of his anger. The weapon in their hand is his indignation. And I see that time and again, and there's no reason why at this time in the world that we live in that would be an impossible situation. In fact, so clear is God about Islam today that the book of Revelation actually exposes the Islamic beast that will be alive and thriving in the last days with the release of the first four horses. You've heard me say it time and again. The first four horses are the very colors of Islam today. The white horse, the red horse, the black horse, the green colored horse. These are the colors of Islam. And I believe that we see that very clearly by what that those horses bring, if you will. But then we see the Islamic beast made up of different nations of ancient empires of Babylon, Medo-Persia, which was Iran, if you will. Then you saw the Grecian Empire and you saw the Roman Empire, and you see a joining together of all these independent ancient nations in the last days growing as one, which we believe is the caliphate. And so we believe that the Islamic reality in the world today has everything to do with Bible prophecy that was revealed over 2,000 years ago and has had a history going all the way back to Abraham and Ishmael and Isaac. And so there's something going on in the world. We're wanting to view it, look at it. And you can't just blame the devil for everything. It's our sin that brings, you know, a curse causeless cannot have an effect, right? So if you're walking in the righteousness of God and someone curses you, Well, their curse will not stick. It will not have the power that was intended. And so Jesus says to the righteous, bless those who curse you. But when you're shedding innocent blood, when you're defying the living God by promoting what he calls an abomination or a detestable act like homosexuality or these things, well, now when you're cursed, there's no defense against the curse and the curse will land. And when you look since 9/11/2001, the condition of our nation since we started this battle with quote-unquote Al-Qaeda and the Islamic forces around the world, well, every single day, several times a day, the United States of America, the great Satan, is being cursed, and this imprecation that comes against us seems to be having it. Now, we say, well, how are we cursed? The economy is booming. Well, here's the curse in that. Joe Biden will tell you in his speech in Philadelphia the other day on Saturday that the economy that is now booming, Donald Trump inherited that economy. Donald Trump inherited what Obama and Biden created. Yeah. And why you say that, why is that a curse? Because again, there's nothing pure. Everything is contested. Everything is, you know, is back. It's just all mixed up. And so you and I, again, are living here on this earth at this time, and we have to view ourselves and find out, okay, how does my life fit in to what's going on? I could sit here in the comfort of my home and I could read the articles that are going on. I could sit here in the comfort of my home and realize there's a political debate. And yet I'm safe. I could sit here in the comfort of my home and view the massive tornadoes and the flooding that's going on all around me. I could sit here in my home and think about all the people that have been shot in the streets of America in the last couple of years, and the numbers are staggering. It's more than any war going on anywhere in the country, really. And, you know, our inner cities are just rank with all kinds of, you know, rebellious elements and so on. And so you and I could be comfortable and watch, and we've been doing a lot of watching, haven't we? Since 2,997 people were killed on 9/11/2001, and we've watched all the different things that have gone on, and we're watching, and thank God we're still here. We seem to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people. You know, we're talking about the issues, but we still have to boil it down. Well, what does it mean to me? You know, what does it mean to me? And I fear sometimes that we Christians could take on a mental mindset of just kind of burying our heads in the proverbial sand and not wanting to hear and not wanting to see, but just kind of live in the imagination of our own lives and just kind of live my life on earth in the best prosperous way that I possibly can. But then I have to go back and remember that my life is not my own, that I have been purchased with the blood of Jesus. I've been bought with a price. And so it's not about me living the life that I want to live as much as yielding my life as a purchased vessel to the master who bought me for a person to do with me what he wills. And so that my real journey is to daily come before God and say to the Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? And if the Lord comes to me and says, I want you to shut everything down. I want you to sell everything you have. I want you to give it to everybody you know that's in need. And then I want you to come with me into a brand new place. I have to be willing to do that because it's not my life. Nothing that I possess is my own. I have to be willing to do whatever God wants me to do. And sometimes what we do is we prepare our lives. We get ourselves situated. It's very comfortable. We have a nice nest. And we think that if we just stay here, we don't rock the boat and we leave everything okay, that now, you know, I could just live my life and observe the things around me, and that this that I have created is my security and my safety. And yet when we really step back, we ask the question, what is really safe and what is really secure? That you cannot send your children to a high school without them being shot and killed. You can't go to a church service on a Sunday morning in Texas and have 26 parishioners killed. You cannot go to a Jewish synagogue in Poway, California, or in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and people getting killed. Or even you can't be a Muslim going to a mosque in New Zealand and not being killed. If, you know, again, this is what they're showing us. And you know, and I know that the news media is very, very powerful to portray and to embrand upon our minds or impression upon our minds what they want us to see. We know there's a lot of trickery. We know that behind the scenes, things aren't as they appear to be up front. And yet there is a biblical truth that keeps us from just folding our hands and, you know, caving in and saying, it's a bunch of baloney. No, the Bible says that there will be in the last days the kind of violence that we are witnessing today. The Bible says that we will see famines and pestilences, and we will have earthquakes and all kinds of trouble and division and schism and breakdown and meltdown, and there will be celestial events and major things. And I don't look at that lightly. I believe that's the wisdom of God, and that there are certain events that are kind of lining up like dominoes. One event follows the other event, and we're looking and we're watching and we're seeing and perceiving. But sometimes we have to continue to watch and consider the condition of our hearts. Paul the Apostle said, are you in the faith? Examine yourself to see, are you in the faith? And what does that mean to you and I? Well, I'm watching what's going on around the world. I've read it in the Bible. Therefore, I conclude the Word of God is the wisdom, the truth that's going to stand when everything else falls. And that my place to live here to watch these things is more to just be an observer, that there's something I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm convinced there's something you're supposed to be doing too. Now, the enemy of your soul is trying to do everything in his power to get you to turn away from God. This is his job right now. Whether he gets you to turn away from God blatantly, where you just throw up and say, I quit on purpose, or he gets you to give up on that walk, that narrow pathway walk, that holy walk, that rigidly righteous walk, and get you to begin to compromise and, you know, just begin to do things that are acceptable with most Christians today and the world today. And, you know, you convince yourself that it's okay. And this is how the devil labors to get people to turn away from God. And unfortunately, people are not bold enough to say, forget it. I quit. I quit God. I quit the Bible. I quit church. I quit Christianity. I quit. And I know what I'm doing. Most people can't do that. So they have to convince themselves that, I quit this idea about living in the last days and all this stuff and preparing. You know, I quit. And I'm just going to go somewhere and hear a nice message and join a church and get a job and raise my family. But as far as me being proactive and getting people prepared and ready to go, like in the days of Noah, being salt and light, being a voice shouting it out from the housetops, I'm just going to cave into my problems. I'm going to cave into my conditions. I'm going to cave into the things around me that are, you know, I don't really like, and I don't like the hardships, and I don't like the pain, and I don't like the anguish that comes along with being a Christian. You know, and this is where the enemy is at work. And so you and I must continually examine ourselves to make sure we're in the faith. So, because obviously we can drift in such a way that we're not even aware that we've drifted from being in the faith, and yet we're going through the motions, but there's no real activity going on in our spiritual life with God. I hope that makes sense. What are these thoughts in this conversation this morning? What is this? It's an appeal to not give up. And I don't even know why this kind of an appeal is going out today. Maybe it's somebody that just needs to hear, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Even if it looks impossible and you have done everything in your power and it is impossible for you, but it's not impossible for God. And I'm just here to tell somebody what my Aunt Sonia told me about 30 some odd years ago when I was having major malfunctions in my life. Thank God I had not been in the ministry. I was basically a new Christian. The same Aunt Sonia that used to pray that my tires would go flat on my car because I was always going somewhere, and it was always the wrong direction in those days. But that Aunt Sonia of mine said, don't you ever quit. And maybe somebody today needs to hear that. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. There is an active spiritual force trying to engage you without you knowing that it's intending to get you to quit, to get you to go in an opposite direction that appears to be a little easier. I've got news for you. The grass is never greener on the other side, and it's not going to be easier, although it glitters in that direction. It's never true. The only right thing to do is to do what is right. Always do what is right. And what I love about God's wisdom and God's word is that being a human being is difficult enough, in my opinion. Just being human and living on this earth. Why? Jesus said the storms of life are going to hit you. The floods are going to come. The winds are going to blow. Everything in life is going to come at you. Nobody has an easy life, not even the rich people. It's not easy. Being human's not easy. But what's really cool, now that we're born again and we have the Word of God and a pure personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we have a Father who's given us His Holy Spirit to understand the things that we understand. We're not blind to what's going on. Thank God we have the wisdom of Scripture to tell us what's going on. And I love the divine distraction from our just being human, that we are divinely distracted by the wisdom of God to let us know that things are not always going to be the way they are. Change is coming. And the ultimate glory of the change that's going to bring the glory is always ahead of us. It's not always going to be dark. It's not always going to be hard. It's not always going to be fraught with danger. It's not always going to be anguish of heart and trouble and turmoil. You know, everybody goes through that. But the good news for you and I is that we keep looking beyond it to the promises of God. And then the ultimate reality of God coming, we being joined to Him and going on into eternity. I mean, that is something beautiful. But even beyond that, in the right here and the right now, we can be divinely distracted from getting so messed up about getting our best life now and everything perfect now, to remember storms are coming, that once you build, things are going to be taken away. But if we live a certain way of just doing what God has called us to do, those things will remain forever because they're spiritual things. In other words, we could ignore God, ignore the Word, work on our best life and have no turmoil, because being a Christian is going to draw the opposition of the adversary. You know that. You cannot be a true Christian in this world and not draw opposition. Now, it's not a confrontation with face-to-face Islam coming directly against your life, but it may be a spiritual adversary working against you to get you to a place where you're ineffective in the kingdom of God. So, or we could tell this world, devils in our own flesh, I'm not about you. My life is not my own. I want to live for Jesus. I will live for Jesus. I will live for God. I will live for the Word of God. And I will obey the Word of God, absolutely obey the Word of God, like it's the very law of God. But not the rigid laws of the Ten Commandments or the Torah, but the higher laws of God's instruction. I will follow the instructions of Scripture, though it kill me. Though I take up my cross daily, I will do what the Word of God says to do. I will study the Word of God. And then when other people preach the Word of God or teach the Word of God, they will only confirm what God has revealed to me personally in my personal study. And I will be refueled and refreshed, and my faith will come alive, and I will have vim and vigor, because while I'm studying, others are confirming, and that's the blessing of the Lord. And I'm going to live my life that way. And I'm just going to do what the Word of God says to do. For me as a Christian, I have an assignment in the Word of God. I have an assignment, a personal calling, where God has set me in the body to be a particular vessel. I'm not trying to be like every other person on the world, on the planet. I don't want to be like anybody else. I admire those who have faith to inherit the promises of God. I will follow after those who are walking in holiness and righteousness, and I will admire and be impressed with the journey of those who are operating in the supernatural power of God. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but I don't want to be like them. I want to have my own experience with God. I want to walk with God. I want to walk with the Holy Spirit. I want to taste that the Lord is good. God has given me a life. I'm here. I exist not because of the people around me or next to me. I'm here because God allowed me to be here, and I want to know what I'm here for. And I do not want to waste my life having no hope, having no faith, and only being in trouble. Good morning, Patricia Joy. You're about 9 minutes late. Where have you been, lady?
Oh, good morning. I kind of liked where you were, and I didn't want to interrupt it. I thought it was a good place to be because it is going to get harder, not easier. And how we respond to everything is going to be very, very important. Whether or not we get upset easily, whether or not we are blaming others for everything going on. The only answer in all of it is to really, really do the will of God in everything we decide. But as far as the economy is concerned, you mentioned that we're in a good upswinging economy, but as of recent, well, that isn't true.
That's what people say. I mean, that, it's never affected us,
saying,
right?
They were saying it, but now if you watch the Dow, it's going up down.
How many people does that affect in just the simple world of our, you know?
I think those that are really involved in the stock market and what have you, it does a lot to them.
It does a lot for them. But for the average person like you and I living on this planet in that system, it doesn't really change our...
Not if you're in Christ, but if you're outside of Christ, it will. Because you will find yourself, in fact, somebody told me the other day, it is getting very difficult to even live financially anymore. Things are getting more and more expensive. Food, cars, I mean, even clothing, no matter where you look, everything is going up. And God is becoming clearly, to me, the Christian is being judged right now. That's why we're hearing these things about the schools and about Islam. And where does it start? It starts in the house of God. Judgment starts in the house of God. So judgment is hitting us right now, and we have to take a look at that. As far as the world and other things are concerned, I think we're in a very, very, we're in a place where I believe we are closing the door. And the things that have been prophesied will be. But Muslims are ready to use schools and textbooks to proselyte for Islam. That's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And it is sad, but they have found a welcoming environment in American public schools. And the commitment to multiculturalism in our schools and the imperative to be tolerant prevents teachers from evaluating non-Western culture critically. And many public schools and individual teachers have proven to be willing to go along with the organized campaign by U.S.-based Islamic organizations. And they are willing to present the whitewashed version of Islam, you know, they do no harm, that is promoted by the Muslim Brotherhood and the Saudi Arabians. And the school assignments that have been given in some public schools are absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, this is, again, a world that the atmosphere is being cultivated to bring a heaviness, to break the will of people all over the world, to bring subjugation to the higher powers of the God of this world, the devil at this time. Even though he is a defeated foe, he obviously has tremendous power. And everything is designed to break people's will, to break them, to break their allegiance, to break their unity, to break their stand. You know, we were one nation under God, indivisible, right? That's how we stood as a nation. Well, there's something in the spiritual atmosphere that's breaking that very will, that very covenant, that very, way of life. And it's such, it's demonic. And that's why I want to encourage people, Patricia, in Hebrews chapter 10, for example, the apostle's writing to the people, the Hebrew people, and he says in verse 32, he said, but call to remembrance the former days. Okay, maybe some of you will have remembrance of the former days. The apostle here that's writing this letter to the Hebrews is wanting to encourage them not to give up. And he says, call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them who were so used. For you had compassion of me and my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now, Patricia, you and I, for years, we've been married 27 years, and you and I have always been able to find that one part where we've been stretched, you know, in this ministry, get stretched sometimes. We've always said, have we done the will of God? Have I been perfect in my obedience to God before I would ever make a decision to do something? And we've always been able to bring ourselves to that place going, well, no, I haven't been perfect in it. Therefore, I cannot stand as a self-righteous individual judging a situation, walking away from a situation, whatever it is. We've always had to come back to that place after you have done the will of God.
Amen.
Then the blessing comes. And that's the admonition to everybody out there. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't turn away until you know you've done all the will of God and it could be confirmed by two or three witnesses. Then we'll talk about giving up.
Absolutely right on. And that's where the judgment starts in the house of God. Just what you're talking about right now. Are you going to continue in my will, or are you going to turn to the desires of your own heart because of it being too difficult to do the right thing, being too difficult not to be selfish, being too difficult not to have things the way you want them, and then walk away and decide this is the way and only way I could exist? That is the work of the enemy, and he's audacious. I mean, he is absolutely, he has more audacity, because I just want to tell you what they're doing, if I could, in the schools regarding Christianity versus, you know, Islam. When they teach about Christianity, they teach on the persecution of Christians by Christians without any historical context. They teach that the Crusades were a great sin of Christianity. In fact, the Crusades were, for the most part, Christians taking back land that had been taken by the sword of Islam. History tells you differently about that, totally and completely. And when they teach about Islam, they conveniently leave out the violent history of Islam, which I said so many times, and people that I talk to don't even know that Islam is a very violent religion politically also. And they also, in the schools, they don't mention that Islam was rejected by most of those to whom Muhammad preached until he started using the sword to win converts. He did it by the sword. And they're trying to do it again by the sword. And his message was convert to Islam or die. Either you convert to Islam or you die. And this is the way it is taught in the book of the Quran. But people aren't looking, they're not understanding, they're not searching it out. And later, when Islam controlled whole nations, Muhammad came up with another choice. And I've read this. I have read the Quran in parts where it really counts, and from others that have written books regarding it. And this choice is called demitude, and it is paying a protection tax, a tax to protect against Islam, which could take 50% of what you owned and 50% of what you earned. They don't mention ever that Islam has been responsible for more deaths in the name of their religion than all of the deaths or Hitler and Satan did in Stalin combined.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is the shouting out right now of what we are. That is a spiritual environment, and the persecution that's coming around the world and to the shores of America. We're seeing the winds. We are literally sensing the winds blowing. Maybe they're blowing softly at first here, but the winds of persecution, the winds of anti-Christian sentiment. We've heard a lot about anti-Semitism, but it appears that globally around the world, the most persecuted people on the planet right now are Christians. And so what we're foreseeing. Yeah, go ahead.
What antagonizes me more than anything is they're getting away with it.
Oh, sure.
And we are doing nothing.
But the word says it will happen.
As a Christian body.
But the word says this will happen in the last days.
That's where the judgment starts in the house of God. That now the judgment is going to go outward from the house of God into all the nations. And that's where the big kaboom happens, what we call the tribulation.
Right. And there's volumes of scriptures in the New Testament talk about in the last days the persecution of those who truly have faith in God. And so the writer of Hebrews, again in verse 37, Hebrews chapter 10, 37, he concludes by saying, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come," referring to Jesus Christ, "and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul."
What is perdition?
Well, that's what I was going to say. This once saved, always saved stuff, you could actually draw back from your walk with God into perdition. And that word here, let's just put it out. It's apollyon, I believe, is what it is. But it literally means this perdition. It's a drowning in perdition. It is a, let's get the exact definition for perdition.
And while you're looking that up, I would like to just tell about what happened with the ACLU and the Supreme Court. The ACLU and Supreme Court have made it very clear, and I just found this, that Christian religion cannot be present in any way in the public school system. On the other hand, it seems that any other religion is acceptable. There goes our judgment right there. Our religions, such as atheism, Buddhism, and Islam, are being taught in our public schools, and for the most part, they do it under the guise of teaching world religion. Again, this is judgment upon us.
Wow. And you know, that judgment is always in the realm of crisis that brings about a separation.
Right.
So the crisis that is coming is allowed by God to bring about a separation from what's his and what's really not his. I mean, this is very powerful when you think about it. Now, that word perdition.
Perdition, yes.
Yeah, when it says here, "The just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition." And it says here, perdition is that word, apollyon. Apollyon. And what's interesting about the apollyon, that's where we get apollyon.
I was going to ask that question.
Yeah, it actually means ruin or loss, damnable, destruction, destroy, waste, perishing, the destruction which consists of eternal misery in hell. So again, the writer of Hebrews is encouraging the Christians, the believers, don't draw back because they were under a lot of persecution. I mean, the whole book of Hebrews was about the persecution was coming against the Hebrews that turned away from Judaism unto faith in Christ. And now he's saying, if you draw back away from Christ, you're going into apollyon. You're going into apollyon.
And that's what you say it means? Because I recall something of it being damnation unto unrepentant people.
Yeah, well, absolutely. It is damnation. It's part of the definition. But I love this. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, unto a destruction, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Believing is not just, I believe in Jesus. There is a active believing that produces a salvation of the soul until it is completely and totally liberated and delivered from all the effects of our sin, personal, generational, and all of the pangs of what sin results in.
Well, we're being judged again within the house of God as to where we stand. And as we are being lukewarm in our position, for the majority, not all, there is a remnant people. There is judgment hitting us in the manner and way that we can't even send our children to public school, in which we pay for in our taxes without them being brainwashed by the ugliness
Yeah.
Of absolute lies.
Absolute lies. Patricia, look at this. In the same definition in Hebrews chapter 10, where it says, we are not of those who draw back unto perdition. The word there, draw back, is hupostole, and it literally means, listen to this, shrinkage or the timidity of one stealthily retreating. It literally means apostasy or a withdrawing. A withdrawing. And so the whole idea that the apostle was mentioning here is that the persecution is so intense, but there will be a timidity or fear, and that will cause people to go back. They don't want to go forward anymore because the opposition is so intense, which normally means there's something they're trying to save within themselves that could be threatened. But if you have the death sentence in you, you will go all the way through to the very end. Now, good soldiers that went to battle, that hit the shores of Normandy, they did not turn back. It was committed an act of treason to turn back, or cowardice to turn back in the battle. And we know that in the last days that there's going to be a falling away. Many are going to turn back. And we have got to encourage the saints of God and ourselves that in spite of whatever opposition may come, that we must go forward to do what God has called us to do. And we have bigger storms coming. If the footmen have wearied us, what will we do when the horses come?
Somebody just sent that information to me. They were very concerned that they were submitting to things that were not really correct. And they asked the same question. If I'm doing that now, what am I going to do later? And we do have to examine our hearts to see whether or not we're truly in the faith. And we cannot be in the faith if we're afraid, because that is a sin. Fear is literally a sin. That which is not faith is what? Sin. And he did not give us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. So fear cannot operate, but underneath it's creeping in. Underneath, many people are submerging or being drowned by this demonic presence that keeps saying this and that, accusations and lies as to who and what they are and what they have not accomplished. And that is where sin lies.
And Patricia, you just said that they drown. And in 1 Timothy 6:9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition.
Wow.
And so we have the drowning effect. What I'd like to do, we've got a few minutes left in the broadcast. If anybody's out there listening, you want to share a thought or a comment, the number to call is, what is our number to call? 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you right into the broadcast if there's something you would like to share in our final moments on this Tuesday morning. We've been hearing some very key things, and I would venture to say that when we're all done, that there were a few nuggets that were presented today, hopefully, which will be a strength to your spiritual life in Christ, to keep you rooted and grounded and not driven by everything that your eyes are going to see, your ears are going to hear, but keep a watch on your heart. We're still in the countdown of the Omer. We're moving towards the great feast of Pentecost or Shavuot. We do have a call coming in. Let's take that call coming in from our friend in South Dakota. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you. Could you explain this scripture to me? Now, this one in the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything give thanks. Could you give me a little understanding of that? Thank you.
Yes, I would love to do that. This is I. And the scripture, I use it all the time because it takes me out of so many situations that seem troubling. And what the Lord spoke to my heart about is that everything that happens, it matters not what it is. Always realize that He is there. He is there to take you from there to a new place in glory, but He's working some circumstances out and He's doing some work within our own souls to help us get there. So it may seem fearful. Say you have a partner that dies or money that gets lost. It may look fearful, but the Lord is saying, be in faith, and I'm bringing you to a greater position and a greater place where all things will work together for good.
Amen.
Because we love them and believe them.
Amen. We're down to 10 seconds in our program. We're going to have to say goodbye for now. We'll see you tomorrow. Daniel Seckham, most likely will be on the air right now. There's a roundtable discussion on controlling spirit. All right, so get over to the omegaradio.org, omegaradio.org. Roundtable discussion. Patricia Joy Xavier's leading that. Go ahead.
It may be destruction to the enemy.
Roundtable destruction to the devil. I totally agree. Get over there. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow. Shalom. Pastor Vincent Xavier, you're listening to Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to The Watchman on Omega Radio. Until we meet again, shalom.